And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, so my question to you right before the break was, are we watching the self-destruction of the Democrat Party? Keep in mind, they're doing this to themselves. It is... When your enemies are kicking their own tail, you just don't get in the way, right? You just go ahead and let it happen. And this is everything we're watching right now is a self-inflicted wound. Now, did we wind up having a very strong presence in the elections of our own? Yes. I think that Trump would have won no matter what. But they did not bring their A game. Let's get down to it. Because they don't have one. Now, this is not a Phil's about to bash Democrats session. This is about a statement of fact. There is a literal dearth of leadership right now in the Democratic Party. Look at who they just elected to be the chair of the Democratic National Committee. I mean, the vice chair of the overall national committee is 20-something-year-old David Hogg, who I don't think has ever done really anything hard in his entire life. And he's a rhetoric monster. He's literally a clickbaiter. And they put him up, and he's now the vice chair of their party. The bench does not have much depth on it for the Democrats. I will say that I believe that there are Democrats out there who loathe what is happening to their party. I do. I know Democrats in Alabama and other places who I don't agree with on policy, but they're decent people. And they just have different views of things than I do. And then there's the wackadoos. And the complete wackadoos? I mean, listen, the level of wackadooness we're seeing right now in the... Is that a word? Wackadooness? I think it is now. It is now. Wackadooness. It might need its own sound effect. I don't know. But the amount of wackadooness that we're seeing right now in the Democrat Party seems to be increasing. It's almost as if they are lighting themselves on fire, hoping that it hurts us. And it's madness. So let's talk about a few things. First of all, I will say this. You know it's bad when Democrat pundits are turning against the Democrat Party. Here's one for you, JP. Going to your guy, Stephen A. Smith again. Stephen A. Smith went on, was it Colbert the other night? He actually did a couple of things. He went on Jimmy Fallon. And then he also went on The View with the ladies.
Yep.
So... Stephen A. Smith is still I got this piece off Breitbart, Dateline yesterday. And he's still like the most vocal person out there, allegedly not running for office. But he did say his words, "The Democrats have no real national voice, so enter moi. They have come to me," he said.
He's right.
They're hoping he's gonna run. They need another, enigmatic kind of candidate. That would be a hoot. He would definitely be able to give a stump speech.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he could contain himself and stay off the crazy train. I think he'd find the crazy train at some point.
But he's got it set right now. He just signed a $100 million contract for ESPN to talk sports.
Gosh.
So why would he ruin that and enter the stressful world of politics? I think right now he's using his position to troll, but then also hopefully bring change to the Democratic Party and get them to wake up and realize what they're doing.
Well, he apparently shocked Joy Behar. He went on The View the other day with Whoopi and Joy Behar and the rest of them. And he apparently shocked her because he informed her, contrary to her opinion, that President Trump did in fact receive a mandate from the people of the nation. And his words, he said, he won every swing state. He increased in terms of his voter turnout in favor from the standpoint of blacks, Latinos, young voters. 89% of the country shifted to the right. That's a mandate. And she did not want to hear that.
Nope, she did not.
And she heard it from a Democrat. And I bet, part of me wonders, did she look at him and almost say, if you didn't vote for him, you ain't black? I wonder if she said that.
It would be par for the course.
At least inside her head.
Yeah, it would be par for the course for her in that trash show.
That's a show that I can't imagine why it still has an audience, but it does. It's clickbait.
Yeah.
It's like video clickbait. But we've also seen like Stephen Colbert, Politico, MSNBC, they're all putting out basically red flag warnings on Democrats. Politico has one writer named Rachel Bade, and she pointed out that after Trump's speech the other night, that Senator Alyssa Slotkin from Michigan, who was the one who delivered the Democrat rebuttal, that her rebuttal, which was, you know, well planned and rehearsed and done professionally, it was completely overshadowed by the way Democrats had acted that night. Like, if she had said something amazing and on point on policy, and all, it still wouldn't have mattered, because there was, at that point, the Democrats had already done all their speaking through their protests that night. In fact, she said this. She said, "But if Democrats think standing up and walking out is their best path back to power, rather than adopting a more strategic approach to their Trump resistance, it's going to be a long 4 years and maybe beyond." I think the other night for Democrats, and this is kind of coming to me while I'm talking. You remember last year, JP, when the debate, you know what I'm talking about?
The one, yeah.
All I have to say is the debate. All right, the debate when everybody in the world knew, oh my God, we got a problem. They already knew it. They were just hoping he was going to get through that debate. Joe Biden, hope he'd get through the debate. And he got on the stage and he like folded like a wet napkin. I mean, it was awful. Just completely, and it got to the point that it was embarrassing. I'm breaking out in a nervous sweat, and I don't even like the guy.
Yeah.
But that was the night when everybody could see it. I think the other night at Trump's speech was the Democrat Party's night to do that. This was the Democrat Party's night to fall apart and fold like a wet napkin. They completely miscued. They completely misread the room. They completely blew some opportunities to keep themselves on even keel. They just went down the wrong roads.
I mean, everybody sitting there said, "You guys aren't going to clap for a 13-year-old brain cancer survivor. You guys aren't going to clap for a guy that just got into West Point literally on the spot. Like, you're not even going to clap for that." It's like the Trump derangement syndrome is so bad that they've lost all. Like, the 2016 strategy is not going to work because people are so tired of it. It's like, all right, let's get over it. And the Democratic Party doubling down on the Trump bad, so I sit here and pout, and it's not working anymore. So, I mean, unless they course correct, Republicans may just win every election here on out, but they're going to have their own, like, quote, revolution of somebody to come in and, like, change things and kickstart things new.
Yeah. By the way, the thing you said about the 13-year-old kid, DJ, what was his name? DJ Wilp? No, I can't think of his last name now. Anyway, DJ Daniel. DJ Daniel, young kid who survived multiple brain cancer surgeries. He was told he only had 6 months to live. He's now 6 years past that point. Trump honored him that night, made him an honorary Secret Service member or agent, and the Democrats couldn't stand up. Here's the thing. There were members of that Democrat Party I know that wanted to stand up. There are, because there's enough good people left that would have clapped for that, and they would have loved on that kid. But they didn't, which means that leadership told them not to say a word and to sit. So Hakeem Jeffries was as guilty as anybody, maybe more so, because he's the one that had to have given the direction for everybody to stay seated. All right, we got plenty more where that came from. I'm going to tell you about a big scandal happening for the Democrats. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Whew, goes from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden, all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn, and across the border to Fort Benning. I called it Fort Benning, Georgia. And even big old patches of northwest Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Text messages are coming in. We'll get some of those here momentarily. I'm on this topic of, are we watching the Democratic Party's demise? Literally, are they dying of self-inflicted wounds right now? Now, I made the point a minute ago, and I hope you heard it. I'll say it again. How about that? Last year, when Joe Biden did the debate, actually, he didn't even debate. He got up there and just, like, crumbled. I mean, just like literally just crumbled in front of the whole world's eyes. It was everything that we knew had been happening, and it happened in public. And when he did that, it was the end of his political career at that moment. That moment when he looks so lost and so confused and so incapable of finding the next thought that he even said something out of the blue that no one knew why he said it, we finally beat Medicare. We don't know what that means. What does that even mean? And this is, by the way, after spending a week at Camp David getting ready for it. Remember that? He was off duty for a week resting up and getting ready, and that was the performance we got. That was the night his career ended. Thank God. I think that the other night at Trump's speech in the House chamber, the Democrats and their behaviors soon thereafter, I think that became the party level version of what we saw in Biden's debate appearance. The party level version of what we saw that was the demise of the career of Joe Biden. And part of that is you can just tell. I mean, so I got a piece here from The Blaze. Came out yesterday or day before. Right now, a CBS poll, CBS, by the way, not like big Trump network, right? CBS. CBS did a poll. Nearly 70% of Americans felt hopeful after watching Trump's speech, and over half of them said they felt proud. So somehow or another, the Democrats' own behavior was overshadowed at the same time. Not overshadowed, but was paired up against something that 70% of Americans polled who watched it said they were so glad to have watched it and that they felt more hopeful after watching it. What we're looking at right now is the Democrats, they don't know what to do. So what did they do in the wake of that? Well, let's see. What can we do? How about, I don't know. How about we do some corny videos? What in God's name? Who is their media consultant? I'm pretty sure they hired somebody's nephew out of high school to come be the media consultant for the Democrat Party. I mean, right before the speech, they had that total gaffe where they had 22 sitting Democrat senators all do the exact same video. And it's epically bad. I mean, same script, hold the microphone the same way. It's almost as if they said, we want you to act exactly the same because it'll be really cool, you know, like to have everybody like standing the same way and like saying the same words. It'll show unity.
And they even said bad words.
They did. Ooh. They did. It had profanity in it, which how professional is that? I don't have virgin ears. I know that people cuss. Making an official speech where 22 senators all say something profane because they think that puts emphasis on their words. I mean, it was scripted.
100, like, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't similar. It was literally identical.
It was scripted. Yeah. Exactly. It's not like in the heat of moment somebody said something and they thought, well, I shouldn't have said that, but you know what I mean. No, this was scripted. They all planned on saying it. But then they had the post-debate where they want to show how tough and ready and cool they are. And so, like, a group of Republican female congresswomen all did this awful video where they pretended like they were starting a, like, you know, Mortal Kombat type game. Choose your fighter. And they've got each one of them acting like they're boxing the air and they're cool. And it was so awful. It was to the point of, it was cringe. So that being said, the Democrats don't seem to have the ability to message anymore. I don't know who they're taking cues from, but they don't have anybody professional in their works. They have lost message. They have lost elections. They have now lost face. And what we're watching is basically the demise of the Democrat Party. Now, I'm not saying they'll never come back. Jimmy Carter, everybody thought that was the end of the Democrat Party for a while, too. And then, you know, Obama came out. So they got their mojo back for a while. And when I say that, I don't mean I agree with what they did. I'm just saying that they had somebody at the helm. Right now, they got nobody at the helm. Nobody at the helm.
I think John Wall put it perfectly of, we're winning right now, but they're not down and out quite yet.
That's right. It's too soon. You know, one lucky punch is all it takes to end a boxing match, right? You get one suppression hold in the octagon. You just won when you've been down the whole time. I got one more thing about this that I think is very important, and this is official, and it's something that I think everybody needs to be aware of because it's not making a lot of headlines yet, but it's about to. And I'll tell you about that in a minute. I got a call on line one, so I'll take that real quick. Scott from Huntsville. Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Hey, good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Hey, you know, hindsight may be 20/20, but for me, I learned a lot over the last 4 years. It took the election of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for the Democrat Party to be exactly where they're at today. If Biden had not been elected, which I always believe that the Biden administration was Obama 2.0 anyway.
Sure.
But nevertheless, the reason why the Democrat Party is in the position that they're in now, which their head is below water, is because of the Biden administration. That 4 years, this country needed to see that. They needed to see the Democrat Party at their worst, and we recognized it, and we're changing things.
Thank God
it's being changed. We needed that.
I think.
I hate to say that, but
Scott, I think you're actually right, and I agree with that. I'll add one more piece to that. I think that as much as I hated having 4 years of Biden because of what it did to our country, it's been impactful even on my family. But I'll say this: I think the Republicans now are more galvanized, and Trump is even a better potential president now than he would have been had he won back in 2020.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And this 4 years was good for Trump, President Trump, because his first 4 years in office, he learned a lot. And in the next 4 years during the Biden administration, he honed himself. He learned what he needed to win this go around.
Yeah. Scott, great call.
And that's what. Yes, sir. Airborne, have a great day.
Thank
God
you,
bless.
Man. Airborne, take care. He's right. And I hate that we had to have that 4 year interim because of what it did to the economy, what it did to morale, what it did to our military, what it did to our energy sector, what it did to everything, even what it did to our standing in the world stage, what it did for world peace. I mean, it's a high price to pay. But I meant what I said, and I think Scott was also right. The Democrat Party is now less of a force against us because of what they allowed themselves to do over 4 years. And at the same time, I believe the Republicans are more galvanized. Let's put it this way. I think conservatives are more galvanized. How about that? I think conservatives are finding their voice again. And by the way, you can be a Republican and not be very conservative. So it's a difference. But I think Trump 2.0 here is also a much stronger president than he would have been had he been elected in 2020. As much as I wish we hadn't have done that for 4 years, I like the version of Trump that we have now. All right, let me do this. I gotta touch on something. So if you're not familiar, I did mention it briefly when John Wall was in the studio earlier today. There is a major fundraising organization that is what powers Democrat candidates. And it's, when I say that, I don't mean like a little bit. This is the official fundraising entity for the entire Democratic apparatus. Now, on the Republican side, we have a big one, too. It's called WinRed. And WinRed is where a lot of campaign donations are filtered through to help process. Because part of it is because there's a major accounting issue that goes along with this. You have to report things a certain way. You have to report them to the government a certain way. You have to follow state laws a certain way. So all these things matter. And having an entity that helps you with the flow is not just a money-making venture. It's also protection for the candidate. So when you get the money, you know it's been policed, if you will, and it's been reported. Unless it's not. And that's what we're finding out with the Democrat version, which is called Act Blue. So WinRed for Republicans, Act Blue for the Democrats. Act Blue. I got a piece here. I pulled this off My Herald Review. I saw something this morning on social media. It's not making a lot of headlines yet because it's still being developed. But Act Blue is apparently facing some internal chaos right now. Multiple major staff members have all quit, like bailed. And the last member of the, like seven of their directors just left in the last week. And the last member of the general counsel's office, in other words, the legal department for Act Blue, just quit. And they've got nobody at the helm right now. And a large part of that is because what we're finding is the Treasury Department has been finding hundreds of transactions linked to Act Blue that have been flagged by banks. Got this piece off the New York Post, and this is a few months old. We were beginning to see trouble in the near term on the election. They were finding that there were so many dummy accounts that were, you know, so-called I've seen the video of a guy who went door-to-door on people who allegedly gave to the Democrat Party 50 times, and they would answer the door and go, "I've only given once." Well, you know what that means? Somebody took the information and used them as a cover to provide multiple other donations so that it wouldn't be reported who gave it. We're also finding that it may well have been that the Democrat Party was taking foreign donations. How do we know that? Because there's a means by which they can turn off credit card payments from foreign countries, and they didn't do that until late last year. In other words, there's no telling how many credit card and gift card donations they took over time that were laundered through Act Blue to candidates on the Democrat Party side that came from foreign entities, and that is a violation of the law. I think what we're looking at right now, we also heard, by the way, this is one more piece that I'll add, the one of the last senior members to leave the Act Blue office sent an email out apparently to members of the staff and to remind them that there are whistleblower laws that would protect them if they need it. What is that? What does that tell you? If you're reminding people, don't forget, we got whistleblower laws. You're protected by those. What in God's name? Well, all said and done, Act Blue raised more than $2.2 billion. $2.2 billion for Democrat candidates and causes just during the 2021-22 election cycle, right before the 22 midterms. They helped Vice President Kamala Harris raise as much as $46.7 million just for her campaign in the last go-round. And that was that took place in just hours. Well, the bottom line is Treasury, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, and the FBI are all briefing Congress on their findings, and it does not look good for Act Blue. And if it was okay, you wouldn't see the staff quitting and leaving like the rats are jumping ship. So that's the Democrat Party's financial apparatus. And when you take that into account with the fact that they have no national party leadership, and when they have no way of messaging, and when they seem to have no professional decorum, and when it seems like they have no shame, and now you add to the fact that they may have no money, I think we're watching a self-inflicted complete demolition of the Democratic apparatus. And it's amazing to watch. And it's all self-inflicted. That's what's so amazing. It's all self-inflicted. Every bit of this is avoidable. My gosh. Stand for what you stand for without being an idiot. How about that? Take me to a break, JP. Last break of the day on a Friday afternoon. I'll come back and get some of those text messages. You guys stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.